We're looking back on a great week last week with Vacation Bible School. Seems to me that there are two events during a year that are especially for kids. At church, it's Vacation Bible School, and we had a really good one. Well, in America in general, it's Halloween. That's for kids these days, isn't it? However Halloween ever started, whatever it has ever been or ever meant, today it means put on a costume and get candy. Right? Every Halloween we see firemen that we're not used to seeing and superheroes of one kind and another and princesses and kings and pirates, frogs and monkeys. Well, that's what they look like. They look like that because of how they're clothed, but the firemen aren't running around putting out fires. They're just getting candy. The superheroes aren't doing that super kind of thing. They're just getting candy. Some kids dress up like astronauts, but we don't see them flying off into space. Some kids dress like monkeys. Well, that one's different, isn't it? But because they put something on, the result is get candy. That's what it's about. The Bible teaches us to put on Christ. And when we put on Christ, we are getting the most extraordinary privileges. And we're taking the biggest responsibility that we can in this life. When we put on Christ, the first thing the Bible says about that is that we become God's child. Would you begin with me this morning in Galatians chapter 3? We're going to read a paragraph, verses 25 through 29. 23 through 29, we'll say. Galatians 3, 23 through 29. Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, "Now, before the faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we're no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you're all sons of God through the faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you're a Christ, then you're Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." That's what Paul said to people, according to chapter 1, verse 2, who already made up the churches of Galatia. "This is how you became children of God," he said. We're not children of God merely by being his creation. No one is a child of God by heritage. In this paragraph, and in this chapter, and really in this whole book, Paul is especially addressing some wrong thinking by people who ethnically were Jews, who by heritage thought they were God's children already. But Paul says, no one becomes God's child just by heritage. They had that law, and that law ought to, more than anything, taught them that I can't perform up to the expectations of this law. I need something. I need someone to save me. And so all of the Old Testament was meant to be a schoolmaster, a tutor, a guardian, to lead people to the faith in Christ. We don't evolve into children of God either by our own righteous deeds. No one is a child of God because God arbitrarily chose him to be his child when he didn't choose somebody else. No, this text says we became children of God when we put on Christ. Well, how did we do that? We did that through faith, verse 26. Or more literally, through the faith. Sometimes in this paragraph and in this whole book, when you read the word faith, it's just that. But sometimes in the Greek text, it doesn't come across in our English Bibles. Paul is saying the faith. And that's equivalent to the gospel. But they get all intertwined in this passage because the faith, the gospel, leads us to faith, personal faith and trust in the gospel and in Jesus Christ. And verse 26 says, in Christ Jesus, you're all sons of God through the faith. It happens, verse 27, when we're baptized. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, if you open up a Bible commentary on Galatians, they might tell you something about the verb for put on or clothe yourself with Christ and the way it was used in the first century. At that time, a person officially became a soldier in the Roman army when he put on the uniform. Among the Greeks and Romans, also a change of dress marked the transition from boyhood to manhood, the time when a youth was admitted to the rights and responsibilities of citizenship. On the theatrical stage, putting on a costume was all a part of playing that role. That's when you became that person you were playing. So to put on, to clothe yourself in that day and time, it marked a point in time. When things changed, when things became different, we become sons of God, the Bible says, when because of faith we're baptized into Christ. When we're baptized, from that point on, we're in Christ, the Son of God. What does the Father in heaven think when he sees his Son, Jesus? I think back to exactly what he said when Jesus was baptized in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17. And what he said again when Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17 verse 5. He looked at his son and he said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." That's what God thinks when he sees his son, Jesus. When New Testament faith leads us to be baptized, we put on Christ, we are clothed with Christ, we're wrapped up in Christ. And what does God think about us then? Oh, he is well pleased. In the New Testament, there are a few words that are primarily translated son or child. There's one that stresses the fact of birth or existence. There's another one that stresses the age group in which a person is. But then there's a third, the one that's used here in verse 26, for you're all sons of God, that underscores the dignity and the privilege of the position and the character that belongs to it. You are a child of God. You have privilege like no one else in the world. And it doesn't matter what you were or what you are. If you're in Christ, verse 28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. Equally privileged, equally prized by the Father in heaven. Partaker even of the ultimate in the promises that God made to Abraham, verse 29. You are God's heir. In Christ, God looks at us, treats us, and loves us like his beloved son. That's wonderful. Isaiah admitted in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 that all our righteousness, as hard as we can try, all the good things that we can do, that's just filthy rags. Then the New Testament says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that him who knew no sin, he made to be sin in our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him. All our righteousness is filthy rags, but in him we become the righteousness of God. That's a rags to riches story, isn't it? Is that the story of your life? Rags to riches spiritually. It has come true in all of us who really make up the church here. That rags to riches story has come true in the lives of 11 people around here this year when because of faith they were baptized into Christ. When you put on Christ that way, you become God's child. Are you here this morning and not God's child? Why would you keep living that way? When you can know that God looks at you and says, "This is my beloved son, my beloved daughter, my beloved child in whom I am well pleased." That's the first way the Bible points us to look at putting on Christ. And then there's another way, once we've become His children that way, that is to act like God's child. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. Again, Paul is talking to people who've already become Christians, already become God's children. Beginning of that book, verse 7, he said, "This book is to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints." Well, now to people like that, to Christians like us, children of God, Romans 13, verses 11 through 14 say, "Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." Now look at verse 11, and I hear salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. And we're already saved, aren't we? Weren't we baptized into Christ for our salvation? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. That's our standing in Christ. But we're heirs. And we're waiting for so much more to be revealed. We're waiting to see the ultimate fulfillment of the kingdom of heaven when Jesus comes again. We want to be in on that. Well, Paul reminds us that's nearer than when you first believed. We're getting closer. That day is drawing near, as Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says. So how are you going to live? What are you going to do? You need to wake up if you're not thinking seriously about that. You need to put on the armor of light and be ready. Are you in Christ? Then Paul says, make no provision for the flesh. Don't go back undercover to do the things you ought not to do. Verse 14 again, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Why do we sin? Why do we ever sin? Well, sometimes we just stumble into it out of weakness. God knows how we are. As the psalmist says, he remembers that we are dust, we're weak. And we want to be like Jesus, but we're not in every way. And as hard as we try, we're never going to be. And occasionally, we stumble into sin. Paul says here, we need to be real serious about it. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Sometimes we stumble into sin, but sometimes we go into sin head first, don't we? We know what we're doing. We make a plan. And we create the circumstances so that we can fulfill the desires of the flesh. And that's bad. Do not plan to sin, Paul says. At the same time, he's saying, do not fail to plan to avoid sin. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Wake up, he says, cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. By God's grace, through baptism, we received the status of child of God, the status of Christ. But now we have the responsibility to clothe ourselves continually with the characteristics of Christ. Sometime way back, I read this story, and I can't remember where it was from, but it really illustrates. Mother and a son went to a secondhand store, and there was this big rack of coats. And crammed among the shoddy trench coats, an assortment of sad woolen overcoats, her son, 14-year-old John, found exactly what he was looking for, a beautiful Chesterfield coat that appeared brand new. Now, that takes you back if you know what a Chesterfield coat is. They still make them. But that's a long coat. It goes to about mid-thigh, and it's got lapels and buttons, sometimes two rows. It's double-breasted. And 100 years ago, whenever you saw someone wearing a Chesterfield, well, they might very well have been wearing a top hat, too. I mean, you look classy when you're wearing this coat. Well, that's exactly what John picked out. It's what he had been looking for. It fit him perfectly, and he took it home for an unbelievably low price, and he just wore it everywhere. Even when it was too warm to have on a Chesterfield coat, John had on that coat. Well, his mother noticed that he changed dramatically over the next few weeks. Agreement replaced contrariness. He became more judicious, more mannerly, more thoughtful, eager to please. He generously loaned his cherished possessions to his younger brother. He did chores voluntarily. His mother wrote, "One day, when I suggested that he might start on homework before dinner, John, who was a veteran procrastinator, said, 'You're right, I guess I will.'" Well, she mentioned that to his teacher the next day, and she remarked that she didn't know what caused the changes. She guessed it must be the coat. John's mom wrote, "John and I both know we should never mistake a person's clothes for the real person inside them, but there is something to be said for wearing a standard of excellence for the world to see, for practicing standards of excellence in thought and speech and behavior, for matching what's on the inside to what is on the outside." How does that illustrate for us? Well, we have been clothed with Christ, and now every day Paul says, "You Christians, put on the Lord Jesus Christ." For us, it's a matter of matching what we do to what God has done for us, to do what His Son and our Lord Jesus Christ would do. We can flesh that out very quickly and then be done this morning by turning to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 to 17. Will be the last passage that we'll look at together this morning. Here you find this taking something off and putting something better on concept. It's what Paul called back there, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Beginning in verse 5 of Colossians 3, he says, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these two you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there's not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all." Stop right there for a minute. That sounds like what we read in Galatians chapter 3. But did you see yourself still anywhere there in verses 5 through 9? You see, when we put on Christ, we put away some other things. That's the way it's supposed to be. Back there in Romans, as Paul said, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." Don't keep lying. Don't keep being sexually immoral. Don't keep getting mad at everybody so easily. God's given you a brand new self in Christ Jesus. Well then, if I'm going to act consistent with the character of Christ, what specifically do I need to do besides just stop doing all the things that He never did? Start doing all the things that He did. In verse 12 it says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Now that's what it looks like when you put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Thinking back to my favorite part of Halloween, besides the candy, it's the great pumpkin, Charlie Brown. I remember this line from Lucy in that cartoon. She said, "A person should always choose a costume which is in direct contrast to her own personality." And that's why she chose to portray a witch that time, if you remember. But these qualities of Christ with which we must constantly clothe ourselves are in direct contrast to what we would be without Christ. And without applying His teaching in our lives, God has given us a new self, a new identity in Christ, and it ought to always show every day and in every situation. Once and for all, everybody needs to put on Christ and become God's child. But then every one of us who are in Christ every day needs to wake up, and before we even think about what we're going to put on our bodies, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually for the day, we need to put on Christ. Put on Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This morning, if you have not put on Christ and become God's child, isn't it about time? Why would you wait another day? And if you've already put on Christ like that, are you still putting Him on every day? We're only putting ourselves on if we think that being baptized into Christ then just takes care of everything the rest of our lives. There's nothing left to do. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. If you need to put on Christ this morning, we really, really want to help you with that. You can make your desire known by coming to the front while we stand and sing together.